roll call. So, Leo, would you like? I'm not sure who's going to do the roll call, but
I'll do so. Chair.
Thank you,
Carol. Leo, could you move to the next slide? This would require your name and your respective jurisdiction. So, City and County of San Francisco.
Mary Ellen Carroll here.
And County of Alameda.
Obi Stasa, Assistant Sheriff here.
Then City, County of San Francisco. Okay, I don't see Erica. City of Oakland.
Oba Crow, City of Oakland here.
City of San Jose.
Ray Reardon, City of San Jose here.
Okay, County of Santa Clara.
Dana Reed, Santa Clara County here.
County of Contra Costa.
Jason Vora, Assistant Sheriff.
County of Marin.
Stephen Torrance here.
County of Monterey.
Kelsey Scanlon, Director of Emergency Management.
County of San Mateo.
Chris Chung, Undersheriff.
And then County of Sonoma.
Good morning, Jeff DeBall, Director of Emergency Management.
Thank you. Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Welcome everybody who is new, and a special welcome to Kelsey. Congratulations on your appointment. We're happy to have you as part of the approval authority. So we are going to go to our next item. Approval of the minutes. I was jumping ahead. Hopefully everyone had a chance to review. Any questions, comments, corrections to the minutes from our last meeting? You can either speak out or just raise your hand. I'm not seeing anyone. So we can open it up to public comment. Is there anyone that has public comment on the minutes? Mr. Beekman, I see your hand up. Do you want to comment on the minute?
Hi, Blair Beekman. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. Happy November to everyone. Happy meeting. This time, I would like to offer a bit of a procedure, point of procedure items. I've been asking for years at meeting minutes if there can be a way to offer public comment to expand it a bit. And I noticed on this month's meeting minutes that it actually, you developed a way that replicates the same system that you offer time stamps for approval authority items. You actually offered that for my public comment this time as well. Thank you incredibly for doing that. Gary Millay, who was a previous approval authority person from Monterey, initially initiated the idea, and you guys felt it was workable. Thank you that you have included myself. Gary often worked for the public, I mean, to be included in that process he was working towards. So thank you immensely, incredibly. It's good practices, and good luck how we can continue just always wanting to ask what can be better public meeting practices. Thanks for your help with this item.
Thank you. Is there anyone else for public comment? Okay, not seeing any. Can we have a motion to approve the minutes? You're going to have to shout out.
I make a motion of Colby Stasa in Alameda County.
Thank you. And a second?
Stephen Torrance, a second. Stephen Torrance, second.
Thank you. Leo, would you do a roll call for the approval?
This is Molly. I'll go ahead and do it. When I call out your jurisdiction name, please state your name and your vote. City and County of San Francisco?
Mary Ellen Carroll, approve. Aye.
County of Alameda?
Colby Stasa, aye.
City and County of San Francisco?
Erica Artisaros Brown, aye.
City of Oakland?
Olga Crow, aye.
City of San Jose. Okay, I'm going to move along. County of Santa Clara.
There you are.
Little
great.
Computer glitch there.
Affirm.
Aye.
County of Santa Clara.
County of Santa Clara. Dana Reed. Aye.
County of Contra Costa.
Jason Borhauer. Aye.
County of Marin.
Stephen Torrance. Aye.
County of Monterey.
Kelsey Scanlon. Aye.
County of San Mateo.
Chris Strong, aye.
County of Sonoma?
Jeff Duvall, aye.
The ayes have it. And with that, let's move to agenda item 4.
Okay, we're going to go to agenda item 4. So agenda item 4 is election of officers. For this, we'll receive nominations and do a vote for the positions of UASU chair and vice chair for the 2024 term. We'll turn that over to Craig.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll start off with nominations. Any nominations? This is for the chair. Raise your hand, Leo. We would need a nomination from the member of the approval authority.
Good morning, County of Santa Clara, Dana Reed. I nominate Mary Ellen Carroll for position of chair.
Thank you. The chair. Thank you. Mary Ellen, do you want to make a statement?
Yeah, I'm happy to accept the nomination. Thank you very much. I just want to again thank all of the approval authority counties for your participation and in work on this, and especially the management team. I'm happy to continue to lead the approval authority for the coming year. Thank you.
Thank you. And then Molly, could you then do a roll? I guess, do we have a public comment on this?
Any public comment? I see a hand up, Mr. Beekman.
I left my hand up from the previous item. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. Are you able to take it down so that we know when you want to speak and when you don't?
Definitely.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Beekman. Okay. No public comment then. We can...
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Yes.
Yeah, we have a motion and a second.
Oh, great. Sorry. So, City and County of San Francisco?
Mary Ellen Carroll, aye.
County of Alameda?
Colby Stasa, aye.
County of San Francisco?
Eric Cardoceros Brown, aye.
City of Oakland?
Olga Carroll, aye.
City of San Jose?
Ray Reardon, City of San Jose, aye.
County of Santa Clara?
Dana Reed, aye.
County of Contra Costa?
Jason Borhauer, aye.
County of Marin?
Stephen Torrance, County of Marin, aye.
County of Monterey?
Kelsey Scanlon, aye.
County of San Mateo?
Chris Strong, aye.
County of Sonoma?
Jeff Duvall, aye.
Great. We have unanimous ayes. I think we can move along to the election of the vice chair.
Thank you, Molly. Congratulations, Chair Kara. We'll do the same process as before. Do we have a motion, a nominee for the, do we have a nominee for the vice chair?
Undersheriff Richard Lucia from Alameda County is more than happy to accept this nomination.
Thank you. And then do we have a second for the...
I can second, Mary Ellen Carroll.
Thank you. Then do we have a statement from Rich regarding his candidacy?
Just that he's proudly served on this board for a number of years and he wishes to continue to do so at the board's will.
Thank you. And then public comment, any public comment?
I don't see any.
Then Molly, can we do a vote?
Sure thing. City and County of San Francisco?
Mary Ellen Carroll, aye.
County of Alameda?
Colby Stasa, aye.
City and County of San Francisco?
Eric Artaceros Brown, aye.
City of Oakland?
Olga Crow, aye.
City of San Jose?
Ray Reardon, aye.
County of Santa Clara?
Dana Reed, aye.
County of Contra Costa?
Jason Borar, aye.
County of Marin?
Stephen Torrance, aye.
County of Monterey?
Kelsey Scanlon, aye.
County of San Mateo?
Chris Chung, aye.
County of Sonoma?
Jeff Duvall, aye.
The ayes have it. So now we can jump back to agenda item 3.
Thank you, Molly. The GM report, there are just a few items on that report, and one is an action item. The first item is an update regarding our grants. The grant of the Regional Catastrophic Preparedness Grant, I'm proud to mention that we received an award of $1.5 million for fiscal year 2023. This is a competitive grant. And we're proud to say we had back-to-back funding from our since 2019. And we will be using the funds pursuant to the NOFO to expand and continue our efforts pertaining to equitable community resilience. And then moving forward into the AWASI grant, in November 1st, we received our sub-award for fiscal year 2023, in the amount of approximately $29 million. And we're pleased to mention that there were no financial holds, so we're moving forward with the projects that were part of that funding. We also received a response regarding our MSA, and I want to appreciate all the members of the approval authority for signing a letter in support. And as you may remember, it was to include the 5 counties of Sonoma, Napa, Solano, Monterey, and Santa Cruz in our official MSA. They participate on the approval authority, but DHS and FEMA do not recognize them. And it's really important for the recognition due to our threats and our hazards for not being, you know, counted in those jurisdictions. In the response, FEMA mentioned that in 2006, FEMA, combined the MSAs of San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose as a special case and has neither considered nor implemented any special cases in order to maintain program continuity and keep changes to a minimum. We kind of disagree with that approach, but we will follow up in 2024 in a more of a strategy concerning this issue. Then moving on to the management team, proud to mention that Matt DeBine has promoted up to the program manager for the STC, the Securing the City's Grant Program. Previously, he was the Seaburn STC project manager, and so there's continuity in the approach of that program. and will later backfill his position as project manager later this year. Also, we're proud to mention that Craig Mohar has accepted the position as the Iwazi Risk Manager, who's responsible for the THIRA and SPR on an annual basis, as well as the risk methodology. He has worked for the City of Sacramento Police Department, initially as an administrative analyst and later as a program manager for the Iwazi Grant Program. And he was responsible for coordinating grant activities across federal, state, and local agencies. He has earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration from Cal State University in Sacramento, as well as two masters, one in management from Sonoma State and the other in security studies from the Naval Post Grad School in Monterey. So we welcome Craig Mohar to the management team. The next item is an action item and will require a roll call vote. It is the 2024 calendar. As mentioned previously, we're proposing four meetings for next year in 2024, and they will be March, June, September, November. However, we're open for suggestions regarding the venue. I know that in the past, member Reardon mentioned, you know, a possibility of changing the venue or consider a change to other localities. So we'll defer that to the will of the board concerning the venue for the 2024 approval authority meetings. And if there's no change, then we'll revert it back to where it was always, Alameda County in Dublin. Any suggestions?
Hold on, Craig. Someone has their hand raised. It's for public comment.
Yeah, we'll have public comment on this item.
Pardon me, Leo?
Yeah, there will be public comment on this item, but it'll be okay. Later, down in a few minutes.
Yes. I think this looks good to me. Does anybody else? Oh, go ahead, Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, the dates look good, and I only brought up the idea. I couldn't remember if or when the Uwazi ever changed places, so, and we were offering our Emergency Operations Center, brand new facility, as an option in 7th.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to that, and you know, would love to see your operations center, and so we would, you know, it would be a good excuse essentially to do that. I guess the question is, you know, is this something that we want to do kind of on an ad hoc basis, or do we want to regularly change things? I do think it's important to hear from the other approval authority members. We could decide as to try it out, to schedule a meeting in San Jose as an experiment, and then, you know, just do that to start. I think it may be hard to go all over the place. The purpose of having it in Dublin, I think, is that it's pretty centrally located. But anyway, those are my thoughts. Please, let's hear from others. Stephen?
Thank you. And I echo Mary Ellen's comments. Going to San Jose is okay with me. I wouldn't want to do it every single approval authority meeting, specifically just coming from the North Bay. That is pretty far. But I am happy to make that maybe once or twice, and or have something in the North Bay as well. Otherwise, Dublin is fine.
Okay. I mean, maybe it's something where we could, if for a particular special reason, like for this would be to a new opening of an EOC, you know, obviously, and I very much appreciate the accommodation to do this virtual because of the APAC activities. But I think flexibility is nice. Maybe we could say we could aim for like once a year doing one of the meetings in another jurisdiction for if there's a particular reason to do so. Jason, go ahead. Let's hear your comment.
I would agree with your comments. I think keeping it in Dublin as the main place is the centralized location is best, but I wouldn't mind once a year going to a different location, but doing it every time would be a little much, especially with traffic in San Jose.
Yeah, understood.
We don't have traffic here.
Maybe not there, but getting there, there is.
So do we have like general consensus to maybe do one meeting in San Jose and kind of see how that goes, and then we can revisit but that will keep all of our other meetings in Dublin. But if there's, you know, a reason like a new facility or something to do a special meeting in one of the other locations, that we would discuss it as an approval authority. Does that sound okay to everybody?
Sounds good to Alameda County.
Okay.
Contra Costa. Support. Also.
I guess I should say, does anyone disagree? Okay, not hearing it, because we're not necessarily voting on this. It's just more of a discussion. So,
okay. Chair, there would be a vote regarding the calendar.
Oh, okay. So do we want, should we pick... do we need to pick the date that we would do it in San Jose, or do we just need to approve the calendar and then we decide later?
It would be advisable for both the okay. dates. And then is there a particular month? And perhaps Member Reardon could get some guidance.
Ray, do you want to pick a month?
Yeah, I think March should be fine. It's close to St. Patrick's Day and they have a little celebration too. So.
All right. Wonderful. Okay, so we'll just say to be held, these meetings will be held in Dublin with the exception of the March meeting that we'll hold in San Jose. And then we will, we can go ahead and do, we need a motion, yes?
On this? Yes, a motion to approve.
Do we have a motion to approve? Please say your name and...
Colby Stasa, Alameda County.
Chris, second. Awesome. Great. Thank you. Go ahead, Molly.
Okay. City and County of San Francisco.
Mary Ellen Carroll approved.
County of Alameda.
Colby Stasa, aye.
County of San Francisco.
Erica Artaceros Brown, aye.
City of Oakland.
Olga Crow, aye.
City of San Jose?
Ray Reardon, aye.
County of Santa Clara?
Dana Reed, aye.
County of Contra Costa?
Jason Vorhauer, aye.
County of Marin?
Stephen Kornz, aye.
County of Monterey?
Kelsey Scanlon, aye.
County of San Mateo?
Chris Chung, aye.
County of Sonoma?
Chap Duvall.
Great, the ayes have it unanimously.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks folks. Unfortunately, I'm gonna have to step away and I'm gonna turn over the chair responsibilities to my colleague from Alameda County. Thank you so much. And just from San Francisco and on behalf of Chief Art Taceros and myself and the entire city, I just want to thank all of the approval authority counties that are providing resources and you too. Thank you.
Uh, Molly, do you want to, or Leo, to the next item? The next item is just a reminder, on the GM report, is that there is the March meeting, and as we know now, it will be in San Jose, and the items would be a grant status update. Hopefully more would be announced regarding the NOFO for the UWASA grant. There'll be a presentation on the risk management program kickoff, the national priority projects, as well as the sustainment projects, the NCRIC and BayTech, and then a presentation on the hub project prioritization approval. And then of course, the financial report. So this concludes the GM report. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to take them.
None.
Leo, are there any questions?
Looks like Mr. Beekman's hand is raised.
Okay.
Hi, Blair Beekman. Thanks a lot for this item and the report. I guess first to thank you that you initially described that the reason for the Zoom meeting today is because of the APEC conference, and you have to be preparing for that. So thank you for that explanation. And a congratulations to Mary Ellen Carroll being reaffirmed as the chair. A quick thought that, I to gather my words, I feel we have to be a bit mindful of that San Francisco has been going through some conservative practices with their law enforcement lately, and that we can be open to different ideas, more progressive ideas, if they present themselves in this meeting process. Good luck how we can balance those things at this time in our lives. So congratulations to Mary Ellen Carroll. I'm sorry she wasn't here to hear my words, and you pass that on to her, that'd be great. To quickly offer, as we're now down to 4 meetings a year for the approval authority, to once again try to address concepts of openness in the public meeting process, your project proposal meetings, you have one in September and one in January. The January meeting, it was an important time for the approval authority meetings in the past. But now we just have the project proposal summary process in January. That used to have an open public meeting process to it, and it doesn't anymore. I hope we can think of ways, it doesn't have to be immediate, but in the next year or two, to possibly consider bringing back the idea of the public can participate in the review process and offer their voice and ideas to project proposals that we're not doing anymore. And as an added question, I used to talk to, county government workers. They would get confused exactly what was going on when project proposal things were happening. That was a few years before COVID. I hope that's been straightened out and that, a process is understandable to everyone and open. My thoughts on the process. Good luck in thinking about it. Thank you for your time.
Okay, we can then go to item number 4. No, I mean 5.
Great. So I am just going to provide an overview on the grant proposal process and where we're at. This is just a discussion item, but I wanted everybody to be updated. So for fiscal year 24, we received 97 proposals. They totaled approximately $27 million. We received 8 applications from the East Bay Hub, 8 from the North Bay Hub, 21 from the South Bay Hub, and 37 from the West Bay Hub. You can see the dollar amounts listed. I don't know if anybody has any comments. I do want to note that the $1 million allocated to the core cities are included in those numbers. In terms of fiscal year 25, we received 70 proposals totaling $22 million, and we received 10 from the East Bay, 3 from the North Bay, 20 from the South Bay, and 37 from the West Bay. In terms of next steps, the compliance review and programmatic review and fiscal review that the Bay Area UAC management team does have been completed. Yesterday, each approval authority member should have received an email from me with a list of your projects. If you didn't receive the email, definitely let me know. And if you have any challenges reviewing the projects, please don't hesitate to reach out. We can definitely help you, especially if there's, you know, issues with your links or something like that. And we're asking that you complete your review of your own jurisdiction's projects by November 27th, which is a little less than 3 weeks from now. So at that point, we can move into the final review stage, which would involve the hubs meeting and agreeing on projects. And we're hoping that all of the projects can be reviewed and ready to discuss by December 18th. And within the next week, I will be reaching out to schedule meetings as needed for some time in January for those hubs that wish to get together and discuss the projects. With that, I'm happy to take any questions or comments. Oh, Dana, I see you have a hand up.
I do, thank you. Just for a quick clarification, I hope this is the right time to ask. On the grant proposals, there was a comment in our briefing packet today that last year that we froze the allocation formulas. And I just want to make sure I understand it. Was that for 22, 23, 24? And then we go back into 2025 and we then talk about allocation? Or was that for 23, 24, and 25? I would like to know, just so I have it straight in my head.
Dana, that is going to be addressed in the agenda item on the risk management update. There is a slide presentation regarding that.
Okay, I'll stand by.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks for the indulgence.
Okay, any other comments from the board or questions? If not, I think Mr. Beekman's hand is up.
All right. Thank you, Blair Beekman. To further discuss grant proposal accessibility, You've gone back. I've been attending Bay UAC meetings since about 2015 now, and you've gone back and forth in that some years you offer grant proposals within the approval authority public meeting process, and sometimes you don't. Some years you don't. Hopefully that can return again. It's kind of a nice thing to see. You know, the different proposals, you know, for each year. I know there's national security issues involved, I'm assuming, is why you're not consistently being able to offer that. And I know that, you know, real good community advocacy used to be attending Bay UAC meetings, and they would be able to ask and get those reports. Hopefully I can have the same sort of skill and luck if I was to ask, but I don't know if I can or not. So I figured it might be easier just to ask to make it accessible at, say, a June approval authority meeting. And but maybe I can write a letter and ask as well. And but just as always, things to be aware of. And thanks for your time.
Great. So I want to introduce Amy Ramirez. She's going to be doing the next action or the next agenda item on risk management. Oops, Amy, you need to unmute.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Hi, I'm Amy Ramirez. I'm the regional project manager now with the Bay Area Training Exercise Program, as Craig mentioned. So can I have the next slide? Oh, yeah, you can skip past all that. Excellent. That's perfect. So this item has two parts. The first involves a vote. And the second is just for discussion. So at the end of the presentation, I'll take all the questions. Each of you should have received an email with the draft 2023 SPR. So this is an official use only document. So typically we distribute it the day of the meeting because this was virtual. We did email you out a draft, but please do not distribute this document without written permission from the UWASI management team, as this is not a public document. So as many of you know, the UWASI grant requires that all recipients complete the FIRA, which is a Threat and Hazard Identification Risk Assessment, and the Stakeholder Preparedness Review, or SPR. FEMA only requires the FIRA every 3 years, which we did in 2022. The SPR is due every year, so that's what we'll be asking you to approve so we can submit it to FEMA. There's some buzzing in the background. I don't know. I don't think it's my connection. I don't know if other people hear that.
Oh, sorry about that.
Okay, thank you. So this year we required, this year we assessed all of the required standardized capability targets, as well as the customized capability targets that we created last year when we conducted the FIRA. And so through a variety of methods, we asked subject matter experts from all the public safety disciplines and all of our partner agencies throughout the Bay Area region to provide input on the change in capacity from last year, the reasons that we still have gaps, and what we should be investing in to close those gaps. And if I have the next slide, I'll show you some of the results. Here's just a quick summary of some of the findings. So the core capabilities in red, those are ones, core capabilities where we lost capacity, a percentage capacity drop from the prior year assessment. In green, that's where we increased capacity since the last time it was assessed. And then the ones in black basically stayed the same. As we saw for the past couple of years, since the beginning of COVID, staffing really has been a challenge across all of our public safety disciplines. So even though we've made progress in some areas like planning or training or exercising, it's just not been enough to move the needle. And in some cases, we've actually been set back in our capacity. So notably, the top three, public health, healthcare, and EMS, fatality management services, and forensics and attribution, all lost capability. Just for a little context, so fatality management, we continue to have challenges. There's just a lack of pathologists nationwide, and especially here in the Bay Area, we have multiple jurisdictions that have contracts with the same pathologist, and there's just not enough people to do the work. The challenges in public health, as you can imagine, still a lot of burnout, and in all of our, like I said, all of our public safety disciplines. So anywhere you didn't see any movement, is really a lot of that reason is because we're still having staffing issues. We did see some improvements. So not surprisingly, they're in the areas that we have been focusing our regional projects. So for example, even though it's still quite low capacity, there was some improvement in the interdiction and disruption. And that was thanks to continued investments from securing the cities and the domestic violent extremism projects that we've been doing. Screening, search, and detection is another one that saw improvement due to investments in securing the cities program. health and social services. We have a customized target that we created last year focused on behavioral and mental health functional area. And that was another one, thanks to the TVTP and the DVE investments, which included adding, multidisciplinary team in San Francisco. That was another one that we saw some growth in. Logistics and supply chain is another one. We did a lot of work around CPODs with our investments from the Regional Catastrophic Preparedness Grant Program. So lots of planning and exercises, and we saw that there was an uptick there. And then also this year of note, we had really good participation in the infrastructure, water and sewer, water and wastewater. We had really good participation from East Bay MUD and San Francisco PUC on that one. So we were able to get better information than we've had in past years. That one. Next slide. So this is the one, this is where we vote, or you vote to approve the 2023 SPR so that we can submit it to FEMA in December.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I think we're going to hold the vote till you finish your full presentation We'll come back and vote if that works for you.
Sure. Yep. So next slide, please. Okay. So that's all on the SPR. Now we're going to get into the hub funding formula that you asked about, Dana. I know some of you are new to this whole process. This is the risk methodology that we use to allocate risk for our region. And this is the formula that we use. It approximates what's currently used in the federal risk methodology. And it's the same one that we've been using for over 12 years. There's three components. There's population risk at 49%. Asset risk at 29%, and economic risk at 22%. So the population risk is calculated using census data, density, commuter data, and that's data that's only released every 5 years. Asset risk comes from the data we get. It's calculated using threat, vulnerability, and consequence data from the CalCOP asset catalog. And then economic risk is gross domestic product by metropolitan statistical area and the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis industry data. And that data is also released on a longer time frame. So we only get fresh data for that one every 3 years. So those three weighted elements, population, asset, and economic, are then combined to determine each hub's overall percentage of risk in the region. Next slide. So last year, the approval authority approved a 3-year freeze on changes to the hub allocation risk percentages. So it's the same breakdown by hub as we did for fiscal year 2023. So these would be the percentages we would be applying to the FY24 allocation. So then if it's a 3-year if we froze it for 3 years, so it would be frozen for FY24, FY25, and FY26, and that's when we were going to reevaluate, whether it made sense to change any of the data. Again, the challenge is that we don't really have new data for population or economic risk. So, we were refreshing this on a more frequent basis, but the percentages weren't really changing because the census data is only on a 5-year schedule. So we refreshed that again, as I said, in FY23. And then economic risk also only changes on a 3-year schedule. So then as a reminder, of course, we apply this percentage to what we received last year in our award amount. And then, because it's really just an estimate, we don't know what the how much money we'll actually receive for FY24. So we don't know how much retention funds Cal OES will keep. We don't know how much of the grant, overall grant, we'll have to spend in the national priority areas. So then that would be the last piece. Do you want to take a vote, or do you want to vote on the SPR, or I want to make sure I answered your questions, Dana, about the funding formula.
Any of us ask for general questions?
So thank you, Amy. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. I mean, we do have new folks on the board, the authority, and you know, sometimes it's hard to keep track of everything. So what I'm hearing you say is it's 23, 24, 25, and then the doors open again for 26 moving forward to do a reassessment of our of the allocation process. That's what I'm hearing you say. Is that correct?
I think it's 24, 25, and 26, only because we already received the award for 2023.
Okay. So the door won't open again until 27.
Yes, and during the calendar year of 2026, that is when Amy would then do the assessment and bring it to the board in November of 2026.
Bring Mofar, you mean?
So, all right, and that sounds good. But one of the reasons I'm bringing this up is, you know, I think when we did the freeze, I don't think none of us had direct knowledge, or at least I certainly didn't have direct knowledge of the fact that we were going to be hosting two major events here in the Bay Area in 2026, the Super Bowl and the World Cup. And so I have a little bit of concern. It doesn't need to get answered today, but I do think it would be important for the management team to take a look at the at that situation, because it's going to put a great deal of strain on, you know, City of San Francisco, San Francisco County, of course, our county, the city of Santa Clara, you know, San Jose and so on. So I'm just trying to look way ahead here a little bit that there may be a need for some additional support from the, for funding as it relates to those events, as it relates to protecting, you know, the communities and the assets and providing, you know, some support for the costing of things that might have to be purchased to provide that protection. Because as we all know, you don't really get you don't get funding from the organizations putting on the events. So I'm just putting that out there. It's a placeholder. It doesn't have to be addressed today. And my colleagues may have other comments about that. But I think we should, be mindful, because it is going to be a lot on the Bay Area in general, and it will impact many jurisdictions in one shape or form, having two major events. You know, Super Bowl is a one-day event, but a tremendous amount of planning needs to go into place. But World Cup is multiple days and different locations. So I just putting it out there, because I think when we did what we did and how that relates to the SPR, I just want to make sure we don't lose sight of that. All right. Thank you very much for letting me speak.
Thank you. Thank you, Dana. And also we will, you know, use that information every year. The risk methodology is announced by DHS and FEMA, and they go through that threat, vulnerability, and consequence. And one of the elements of vulnerability are these special events, and we'll make sure that we capture that for the Bay Area, because that feeds into the overall allocation of our grant. Amy, do you want to proceed?
Well, I
see a hand from Erica.
Dana, I heard the events you mentioned just last week. They announced the NBA All-Star as well to add to your list in 2025.
That's why. So, yeah, the only thing remaining for this item then is to vote on the SPR.
Did we take a public comment, Amy?
Prior to the vote.
Looks like Mr. Beekman's hand is up.
Hi, thank you, Player Beekman. Yeah, thank you. I think it's standard good practices to ask for public comment before a vote on an item. Thank you. I think it was described the SPR report that you are going to vote on at this time. I was reminded that the general manager mentioned that you're receiving grant money for catastrophic planning for FY23 or for year 23. And you haven't received much catastrophic planning funding for a while, and things have been kind of quiet. So I had my worries about what to expect this year, natural disaster and catastrophe-wise. But you guys had a really mellow approach about it, and I thank you for that. It made myself work calmly. And now you're actually getting this funding. I'm wondering, do we have to begin to prepare for something in 24, or is this possibly going to be used for what was described as a lot of major events that are going to be happening in the Bay Area? Just a thanks. Hopefully I think it can help be a part of this item, what you're about to vote on. And a quick thought that when you mentioned, you know, FY years, you know, possibly in the future, you could use the terms federal FY24, state FY24, and use calendar year. Thank you for that. It can help clarify for the layman. I know you guys have magically figured out a balance of how to understand these things, but for the layman like myself, maybe it's a good language to learn. Thank you.
Okay, so... do we have a motion to approve the 2023 SPR?
Obi Stasa, Alameda County.
Ray Reardon, second.
Great. So I'm just going to run through the roll call vote. City and County of San Francisco. No, Mary Ellen is not here, so I'm going to move along to the County of Alameda.
Obi Stasa, aye.
County of San Francisco. I'll come back. City of Oakland.
Olga Crow, aye.
City of San Jose.
Ray Reardon, aye.
County of Santa Clara.
Dana Reed, aye.
County of Contra Costa.
Jason Vorhauer, aye.
County of Marin.
Stephen Torrance, aye.
County of Monterey.
Kelsey Scanlon, aye.
County of San Mateo.
Michelle, aye, and I'm going to need to step away for an APEC meeting myself in a few minutes.
Great. And County of Sonoma.
Jeff DeBall, aye.
I'm going to go back to City and County of San Francisco. Is Erica here? Okay, well, the ayes have it. With that, we can move along to agenda item 7. And I just want to introduce Mick Young, Kim Molina.
Hello, everyone. Mick Young, Kim Molina, Regional Project Manager at the Bay Area UWASI. You can skip to the next slide. And the next, right there. Thank you. So today I'm going to be presenting two grant projects for you. One is called the Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Grant, and the other one is the UWASI Domestic Violent Extremism Grant. Next slide. So the first project I want to talk about is the Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Grant Program. So back in 2021, the UWASI, we received a grant, and it just expired on September 30th, 23. But under this particular project, we did four things. We had four projects that we created under this project. One was that we did cross-sector threat assessment trainings. So under this grant, we were able to provide 8 sessions of threat assessment management training for the region. We also did terrorist use of the internet trainings. We were able to provide 7 sessions of the terrorist use of the internet trainings, which was a very popular class. Another thing that we did is we partnered with the Santa Clara County Office of Education, who led the effort to build a media literacy platform for students. And so to date, we have about 394 students that have actually done this training on this particular platform. And another thing that we were able to do under this grant is that we were able to create and develop a mental health film festival. So this was a film festival that addresses issues such as mental health, as well as suicide prevention and violence prevention. And we actually received 84 films from 12 different schools. And each of the schools, they also did their own kind of like red carpet film showing and invited an audience to be there as well. And so across like training all the students as well as the audience that was there across all the schools, this program really touched like over 6,000 people. So very successful there. Next slide. So the other program that I'm going to talk about is what you all are familiar with, which is the UWASI Domestic Violent Extremism Grant, which is considered a national priority area. So in 2021, just to give you an update on how we've been spending the money for the 2021 grant, we funded the Fusion Center. So we funded the intelligence analysts at the Fusion Center. We also funded a number of different DVE trainings, as well as a crime gun intelligence symposium. We also did some school safety symposiums. We did two school safety symposiums. We did one in Monterey County, and we did one in San Mateo County. We also used this grant to help us pay for a threat bulletin from Moonshot. And it's a bulletin that we get on a monthly basis, and they also break down some of the local Bay Area threats that we're also seeing. We also are partnering with the California Association of School Counselors, and they're doing a really in-depth research-based gaps analysis on like violence prevention capabilities in our Bay Area schools. And for the media literacy for adults, we actually took the project that we did for the students with the other grant, and we expanded it out and adapted it for the teachers and also for parents. So we also were able to translate the platform into Spanish as well. And then we also are doing and almost completing 25 sessions of state school ambassador programs for different high schools. Next slide. And then now, that was the 21 UWASI grant. Now this is the 22. The 22 UWASI DVE grant, what we're doing here with this particular funding is that we're working in coordination with the NCRIC on creating a Northern California threat management team. And we're also providing NCRIC with more funding to do more of the DVE trainings and violence prevention trainings. We also are going to expand the effort to be able to do more of the school safety and violence prevention symposiums. A lot of the other counties saw what we did with the other two counties, and they also want to be able to have that in their county as well. Also, for the mental health film creation project, we're building on the success that we had under the TVTP program to expand that out as well to more schools, because we were able to reach a high number of people with violence prevention messaging through this particular project. We're also doing we're funding social and emotional learning for justice-involved youth. So we're hoping to reach 225 youth under this program and really kind of like giving them and teaching them the skills they need just to navigate everyday life and make good decisions and stay away from the path of hate or targeted violence. We are also funding restorative justice practices. So for this particular project, we're funding 90 sessions of restorative justice circles, and it's really targeted towards schools, mainly students that have been justice involved or have been expelled or suspended, and a way for them to be able to come back into the school world and be able to have like the circle of support that they need in order to do that so they don't get into trouble again. So these are the projects that we're doing that we did under the TVTP grant, and we're currently doing under the UWASI DVE grant. And just want to also mention that our method of doing these projects for violence prevention, you know, we don't we look at it as a holistic approach to preventing violence. We're not saying that it's a law enforcement's responsibility or social services responsibility, but we really use the guidance of like the primary, the secondary, and the tertiary violence prevention models in everything that we're doing here. Next slide. So that's it. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
I don't see any hands on the board. There's no board comments. You can go into public comment.
Hi, Blair Beekman here. Thanks a lot for this item. Jody Travesero has been doing work on this for a long time. Thanks for the report today. You know, for myself, the work I do with tech accountability, it's been really important, kind of life-changing for myself. It's allowed me to participate in the community process, and it's been a good learning experience for myself. And it teaches really good, you know, civic practices of accountability and cooperation. And, you know, it's learning to be a part of the process. And I think it would be a great tool in the future of how you, in these sort of questions you're asking with this item and that you, the things you work on. It does ask, you know, that we work towards our better practices and ideas of civil protections and for myself to, you know, to ask questions about better public input and accountability. And that's a bit new, I think, to city governments. And it's hopeful, I think, what it can offer. What a chance to really work towards community participation within legal framework, within good guidelines. And that's, I think, can be really interesting to a lot of young people who may feel they are left out of the system. So good luck how to learn the good practices of these things and how it can help. And thank you for all your patience with myself to learn how to participate and to be a part of the process. Thank you.
Okay, let's move to agenda item 8. We have Mike Cena here from the NCRIC to give a little presentation.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Approval Authority members, and you also for all your support. Just to give you a few updates on what's going on. Obviously, people are watching the news and seeing what's going on every day. But, you know, we are a global society, and everything that happens in the world has a direct impact on the environment we're in. The last time that I reported, I was commenting about, you know, the low number of foreign terrorist threats that we were seeing, and that has obviously changed after the conflicts that we've been seeing in Israel and the Gaza Strip. We've had a large increase. We actually had ISIS and Al-Qaeda both come out and condemning what's going on, you know, in that region, but also, you know, advocating for violence and violence against, you know, our interests within the United States and our folks that are overseas. So right now, of course, there's a huge conflict area between Hamas and also Hezbollah to the north. And those groups have traditionally actually operated in California, but mainly in a fundraising capacity. I worked them back 24 years ago, and that has not changed. California is a big place for foreign terrorist organizations to make money and raise funds. And so looking at their advocacy, it's both on their end as well as other domestic violent extremists from various spectrums advocating for violent activity and violent action. Part of that we've seen is an increase in hate crimes, everything from stabbing and murders to more recently in our own area as of last Friday, a hit and run that appears to be a hate crime and motivated by the ethnicity of an individual. So, and then even this weekend, we had some, as you know, things have progressed as far as events in California, We've had a number of events to support the victims within that region, fundraising efforts and other types of events. We have seen one that appears to have been targeted just with vandalism, but we're keeping an eye on that, but also making sure that folks that are exercising their First Amendment rights are protected. And so I will put in the chat, and this is something I'm going to send out to our law enforcement executives, it's recommendations for First Amendment protected events, because our job is to not only protect public safety, but also to protect privacy, civil rights, and civil liberties. So I will share that in the chat here. We also, on our website, as well as our mobile app, have the ability for folks to report suspicious activity, but also to submit hate crimes. So we're currently working with the U.S. Attorney's Office to have a symposium on hate crimes. So we're hoping to do that in the new year to bring people together. And then the other thing that we have had a huge increase, and this has been over the last 12 months, is it's an escalation of swatting calls to religious facilities. And so we've seen an increase in, and a large number of them have been targeting synagogues, but where individuals call up and say there's a person with a gun at the facility and a bomb at times as well, which requires and is called upon law enforcement response to each of those facilities, disrupting what they're doing to clear and search those locations. So we've seen a huge increase in that type of activity, along with online rhetoric advocating for violence. And so our big concern, and that's why we have our working groups and our the work that we're doing on domestic violent extremists, is to trying to identify those individuals and get the right resources and appropriate resources to help those folks out. The other thing that we've done, and this has been a project over the last several years now, is working with social media companies to get those threats that they see online reported as quickly as possible. It's been very inconsistent nationwide as far as how tips, leads, and threat to life are processed. So recently, and this is as of September, we completed a project on tips, leads, and threat to life. So two of our analysts and some of our team were instrumental in developing these white papers, these promising practices. I will include a link in the chat area for those documents, so that way you can see them yourself and take a look at them. And as we move into APEC, which we have going on this week, we're going to have staff. They'll be at six of the operational centers that are going to be working 24 hours a day. At least those centers will be operational 24 hours a day throughout the next week. Again, we will be sending out a note to our law enforcement executives out there about best practices and recommendations for protecting First Amendment events, making sure that everyone is safe. And as far as the communications and collaboration, working with Secret Service, SFPD, the FBI, San Francisco Sheriff's Office, and a multitude of agencies that will be covering the event, we are keeping an eye out, as we have 21 plus presidents and leaders of their nations in our area. This heightened state of alert that we currently have and the issues that we're having that are generating a lot for the Middle East, I unfortunately anticipate that we're going to see a lot more things coming out of that, a lot more of our foreign terrorist organizations that are going to be emboldened and want to have some type of response and see the United States and see our interests as a target. On the flip side of that, there are, from the domestic violent extremist side, there are folks on both sides of arguments here, from foreign terrorists to domestic folks, and those that will take pieces of foreign terrorist ideology and other right-wing extremist ideologies and somehow blend them together. But that is our fear, that, we have all these folks online that are being radicalized and motivated to do something. And our job, along with all of our partners, is to identify those threats. So the important part of this is suspicious behaviors, making sure that activity is reported. We have had an uptick of SAR reporting, which, we want people to report things, but we also, our job is to triage that information and make sure that it's based on behavior and nothing other than that. It's based on what they're doing that may be indicative of a threat or attack. And with, the recent incidents that we've had in the area as far as hate crime activity, we want to make sure that people understand that we need that reporting from folks. Our first message to the public is that they should contact their local law enforcement. It's local law enforcement that's going to be responding to hate crime incidents or suspicious behavior. So we want to make sure that people are doing that. We want to make sure that our law enforcement agencies and all of our public and Homeland Security partnership agencies are also reporting those threats and those things that may be suspicious behavior. But unfortunately, I wish I had better news, but kind of the status we're in right now is a little heightened, not just because we have the large-scale event in San Francisco, but because we have an active group of foreign terrorists and DVEs that are promoting violence, and not just in our area, but across the entire country. So those are kind of my updates. I'm open for questions, and just let me know if you have any.
I don't see any from the board. If there's none,
if anyone has any questions on the documents and links that I posted in the chat, hopefully you guys can get all those, or our partners in the OASI will share them with you. Please reach out to me, and we have teams available to support any of those incidents that pop up in our area.
Thanks, Mike. I think we can go into the public comment.
Hi, thank you. Claire Beekman, thanks a lot for this item. I'm interested to hear how the events happening in Israel and the Middle East, what we can be doing at this time. So thank you very much for the report. I guess to first note, I felt the act by Hamas was kind of horrific and not the way to ask for peace and dialogue. But now that the action has happened, I think we have to want to work towards peace and dialogue. And exacting revenge by Israel, I don't think is going to be the full answer in the end. And that we, I would like to work towards peace and dialogue. The work I do with tech accountability exactly lends itself to that. And I feel that if we work on those practices here at the local level at this time and not crawl into a defensive shell of practicing our war strategy in times like this, as local governments, if we practice our openness and accountability, continue our good practices, that will offer a lot of good ideas towards good practices that I think will be respected in this country, and not just in this country. I think that will be respected in the Middle East is how we want to practice well. And do our good things. In being from San Diego at this time, we're really working on new tech accountability practices and trying to bring that out. If we work on that well in San Diego at this time, we will be showing the world, you know, that it's openness, it's sharing with each other and dialogue and cooperation that I think naturally lends itself to all sides of issues of how to address things. So I'm really a big fan of dialogue and what tech accountability can do. I really hope tech accountability can address all these hate groups that are really marginalized and left out of the system. Tech accountability can help invite them to the system. I don't know once they're invited what they're going to start saying. It's pretty horrific what they say. How to help them work through that, that's out of my league, but I know that the tools of tech accountability can really help introduce a lot of marginalized hate groups into working more sensibly and trying to be become more regular part of society.
30 basically. Seconds.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'm about done. And just I don't know all that it takes to do that, but I think there's some initial good practices here that we can help them with tech accountability stuff. So good luck in those efforts, and thanks for the report.
Leo, we can go to agenda number 9.
And I think that's mine.
Yes.
UASI travel expenses. Good morning, everyone. The approval authority bylaws require that the management team report on travel costs. So my report, which is informational only, covers the 12 months ended September 30, 2023. Total travel costs reach about $33,000 this year, The largest event on this report was the annual Homeland Security Association conference back in July that took place in Chicago with multiple attendees where members of our team gave notable presentation. The rest of the travel activities are described in the report. It's pretty straightforward. On a side note, we are releasing the FY23 MOUs for signatures today and early next week, now that the subaward from the state has been received, as announced earlier by our general manager. So receiving this award letter from the state has been a bit behind schedule this year. But I encourage your project leads to start drawing the specs for the procurement of the FY23 projects. I think that's all I have. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. Any board comments?
I don't see any hands. That?
Yes. So public comment?
Hi, Blair Beekman. Just a friendly reminder. I often remind at this time that you received some really helpful additional funding each year to help with, I think it's called COLA issues, for things like NCRIC workers, like their overtime pay. I think it's about an additional $3 or $4 million a year just for kind of housekeeping things within Bay Uasi, and it was a real nice thing that it happened, and real helpful. And I was just wondering, I ask at this time, if you can develop good accounting practices and perhaps ways that you can bring that to the public meeting agenda, how it's where its funds are being stored each year, and how it works each year, may be of interest in how to work well, and certainly a way to consider how to practice good accountability. And I just thought I'd mention it this time again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And that's it for my item. Leo, on to the next one.
I guess to item 10. Is it the next one? Any announcements?
Member Reardon may have an announcement.
Thanks, Craig. My apologies. I do want to open back up item 3, and I don't know how to properly do this, but as we're designing the EOC and its use opportunities, we have different calendars that are conflicting, and I apologize, but March 14th, there's other activities going on at the facility, so I need to make a request of having the opportunity to meet at San Jose and move to either June 13th or September 12th. So procedurally, how do we manage that?
Member Reardon, we could amend that motion, that action item. Do any of the members have a preference of which month that would work? And the dates are raised in June
13 or September 12. And I'll just put the note out there that usually by June 13, schools are out, so it's easier traffic.
So moved. Henry from Santa Clara County. I'm so moved on amending the approved item to meet in the city of San Jose.
For the June 13th, is that correct?
Yes, unless there's objections to that from my colleagues. You know, June seems like a reasonable time frame.
Okay. Was that a second?
What Dana's was a first motion. I just put out the notice. I've let someone else second it, so it's not just Dana and I speaking from Santa Clara County.
Second, San Francisco.
Okay, we have a second. Molly, do you want to take a roll call vote?
Sure. City and County of San Francisco. We know Mary Ellen's not here, so I'll move on. County of Alameda.
Colby Stasa, aye.
City and County of San Francisco.
Erica Artaceros Brown, aye.
City of Oakland.
Olga Crow, aye.
City of San Jose.
Ray Reardon, aye.
County of Santa Clara.
Henry, aye.
County of Contra Costa.
Jason Vorhauer, aye.
County of Marin.
Stephen Torrance, aye.
County of Monterey.
Kelsey Scanlon, aye.
County of San Mateo. County of Sonoma.
Jeff Duvall, aye.
One more time, County of San Mateo. Oh, I think he had to leave early. So regardless, oh, great. Sorry. Regardless, the ayes have it unanimous.
Thank you, board, for allowing that change.
Thanks, Ray. On the good of the order, public comment.
Hi, Blair Beekman. This is general public comment. Yeah, hi. Thank you. I would like to talk or just thanks for the meeting today. It with the with the new funding for natural disaster or catastrophic funding issues. Good luck in how you can make those concepts more clear in upcoming meetings as needed. You guys, BayWASI has always been very good about that. It's been like a real good process for myself to be a part of your group in how you used to be able to work on those things very well. So if it's needed in 2024, good luck how you can continue to share what needs to be done. And we can be clear, and I can be clear. and that's helpful to me to learning to be a part of the process. As always, if you can consider changing the name of BayWASI, you know, good luck in choices of what different names can be. I think just thinking and being prepared for different names can help when the day may actually come that you can have a name at the ready and concepts at the ready towards a more kind of U.S. Based democracy and ideals, hopefully, is my hope and thinking. And yeah, just a real sadness about the war that's going on in the Middle East right now. I really hope, you know, getting even is important to Israel and how they think and operate, and to the U.S. too. But, you know, and U.S. started a motto after 2001 that we don't negotiate with terrorists. And I think that's playing out right now. And I hope we can learn to get past that policy a bit. And I don't think violence is the answer in solving issues. And it's sad that what Hamas has done. I just hope we can learn that peace and negotiation can really accomplish a lot. And it sets egos aside. And I hope we can learn that sort of lessons of life. It takes a lot to learn how to do that. Good luck how we can do that. And that we can continue our good practices here at the local level. And we don't have to rely on war in our thinking at the local level. We can practice open democracy and peace and give good examples to the Middle East at this time, how they can practice open democracy and dialogue. And good luck in those efforts. Thanks.
Next agenda, Dana, your hand is up.
Yeah, thank you. Just quickly, looking forward to going up to San Francisco next week to support them during APEC. We've got a team of folks that are going to go up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, work in the EOC. So we appreciate that opportunity. We're happy to support that OA during this event. And that is it for me. And thanks for answering all my questions today.
Thanks, Dana. The next agenda item. We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Approval Authority members and attendees. Remember, the next our next meeting will be in March of next year. So thanks for your attendance.